From news across the world to events in your community, hear about it all on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. You'll have the podcast up faster than you can say, what was Rob's last name again? He's our fabulous producer, takes great care of us. So we're very much appreciative of his hard work. Well, the hard work is coming right now for movie Mike McGranahan. He's going to give us our latest movie review. His website is ILSeat.com. And at Aisle Seat on Twitter. He's sponsored by the Campus Theater and Lewisburg Campus Theater.org. His first movie review today, a film called, well, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Amsterdam. Tell us about that.
In Amsterdam, Christian Bale and John David Washington play World War I veterans who were framed for the murder of their former commander's daughter. Together with mutual friend Margot Robbie, the guys set out to clear their names. Their efforts bring them into contact with spies Michael Shannon and Mike Myers, retired military general Robert De Niro, socialites Remy Malek and Anya Taylor-Joy, and some very bad people who are plotting to take control of America's leadership. The worst sin a movie can commit is to be boring. The second worst sin is to be confusing. Amsterdam commits both those sins. The story is very loosely based on an actual historical event called the Business Plot that offers plenty of opportunity for drama, especially since it has echoes of what we saw in the wake of the 2020 presidential election. Unfortunately, director David O. Russell is too busy engaging in lame, pointless bits of wacky comedy, like the fact that Bale's character has a glass eye that keeps popping out. And because the film has so many characters, all of whom need to get their moments of wacky comedy, the plot becomes hard to follow, which eventually leads to boredom. A great cast is wasted in a dumb plot, and that's an Amsterdam shame. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5 red light districts.
Oh, which there is one of in Amsterdam, I presume.
Correct.
Plays a role in this. Okay, it plays a role in this film?
No, they're only in Amsterdam for a few minutes of screen time, really.
Okay.
I don't know why they called the movie that.
Well, when I saw the cast for this in your notes, that's crazy. What a group of people. These are really some of the greatest actors and actresses of our time.
Yeah, and I don't know what they saw in this material. There's an opportunity there for plenty of drama, but David O. Russell was the wrong person to do it. He makes movies about very quirky characters. Silver Linings Playbook is the most well-known of his films. But this is not a subject that really benefits from that kind of quirky treatment. And that's the problem. He's, instead of telling the story in a straightforward way or a way that we can follow, he's constantly stopping for these little asides and little detours of wacky comedy and give this character a moment of being silly and that character a moment. And after a while, I just couldn't follow it anymore. And I just grew so bored by the endless repetition of these jokes that are not funny. I wanted them to get back to the idea that these guys are trying to clear their name.
Okay, so all these little added parenthetical things end up, it's hard to find out where the paragraph is between the parentheses, I guess.
Absolutely.
Is one way to put it. Okay, well, big cast, maybe a different director, or just the screenplay has these flaws already in it?
Yeah, I think the problem comes down to the screenplay, but his direction doesn't help. As a director, I mean, this movie is like 2 hours and 14 minutes. He should have trimmed out a lot of the unnecessary stuff and tightened up the plot.
All right. Strangely enough, I remember your illustration, Red Light Districts, but now I forget the number.
Oh, 1.5.
1.5.
Yeah.
Okay, so they did not.
Because it's not the actor's fault. The actors give their best.
Okay.
So it's really everything else that doesn't work.
And we would see this in theaters if we're undeterred by your below average recommendation. Okay. All right, so that is Amsterdam. There's a new movie out called Lyle, Lyle, Crocodile. Mm-hmm. I would think kids would like this. I saw the trailer. It looks like fun.
Yeah, it's based on the popular children's series book, and singer Shawn Mendes does the voice of Lyle, a crocodile who can sing. He can't talk, but he can sing. Javier Bardem plays his owner, who abandons him when Lyle is unable to perform in front of a crowd and make the kind of money that he's expecting. Lyle is adopted by a family, gains their trust, but then a while later, Javier Bardem comes back and wants Lyle to return, in an attempt to hit the spotlight. Obviously, the story is preposterous. I mean, as I'm saying this, I'm cracking up trying to describe the plot of this movie.
If somebody's just tuning in.
Right. But it's a really sweet, fun family movie. And this film has a singing crocodile in it, but the greatest special effect is Javier Bardem. I would not have expected to say this, but he deserves serious awards consideration as best supporting actor for his work in this movie. He is such a live wire and plays this character in such a colorful and flamboyant way that is so fun, and he really makes the movie. A lot is being made of Shawn Mendes, who's a hot pop singer, being Lyle, but really this is Javier Bardem's show, and he is the reason to see it.
How did he learn to do that? This is way out of his character. Who helped him? Who directed him?
I don't know. Because he sings and dances in this, and he's just like a live wire. You know, he's incredible in this, and you forget it's Javier Bardem, because he so thoroughly becomes this other character in his look and his mannerisms, and we don't expect to see Javier Bardem break into tap dancing and singing. Mm-hmm. So it's really an incredible performance.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, super. Okay, so, Lyle Lyle Crocodile.
Yeah, three stars.
Three, okay. And that's in theaters?
In theaters,
for
yep.
For the moment, okay. Rosalind,
yep.
Rosalind?
When Disney bought 20th Century Fox, now they're called 20th Century Studios, they got this big backlog of movies that they're choosing not to release theatrically. They're releasing them either on Disney Plus or on Hulu, which Disney owns. And this is one of them. But it's called Rosalind. It debuts on Hulu today. And it's a really unique take on the Romeo and Juliet story. It stars very talented young actress Caitlin Dever, who people might remember from the hit movie Booksmart a few years ago. And she plays Rosalind, who is Romeo's girlfriend before he meets Juliet. And during the course of their relationship, Romeo meets Juliet and falls in love, and she tries to win him back. And all kinds of complicated shenanigans go on from there. But it's really fun the way this movie sort of weaves the actual Romeo and Juliet tale around the story of this other peripheral character. So it's one of those movies. The movie itself is fine. It's well made. It's entertaining. But Caitlin Dever is what makes this worth seeing. She is really, really good here.
She does a super job. Okay. Well, yeah, the trailer is entertaining. And you can see how it's, you know, what Shakespeare never told you was also happening. Kind
right.
of thing. Okay, fabulous.
So three stars for that. Debuts on Hulu today. I do recommend it.
Looks like super costuming, too. Just crazy period piece.
Yes, yeah, great back, production design.
Set back in, what, the Renaissance, I guess. Okay, Moon Age Daydream. Oh, Moon Age. Okay.
Yep. This is my pick of the week. This is the movie that's opening today at the Campus Theater in Lewisburg, my wonderful sponsor. And this is a documentary about David Bowie, but it is not a traditional documentary. The film's director, Brett Morgan, has created a complete auditory and visual experience. The movie is just comprised of different archival clips of Bowie performing, of interviews, but the way it's done, it's sort of a kaleidoscopic manner. There are different colors and different images put up on the screen and a lot of flashing stuff, and all of it is designed to kind of be in the style that Bowie was as a performer, somebody who was very flashy, somebody who was very creative. This movie reinvents itself as it goes along with each stage of Bowie's journey. So I'm not even the biggest David Bowie fan in the world, but I found this movie to just be an incredible viewing experience. Definitely something you want to see up on the big screen with the best sound possible. So it opens at the Campus Theater today. Moon Age Daydream, 3.5 stars for that.
And it's at the campus now?
Opens at the campus tonight, so it'll be there all weekend.
Wow, yeah, there's a lot of
and once or twice next week.
Tons of things going on in Lewisburg, so this will be the good weekend to go see that. Did you give it a rating since it's a documentary? Person?
Yeah, I gave it 3.5 stars. And like I'm a fan of the 80s Bowie. Not so much, you know, he was a little bit before my time in terms of his 70s stuff and Ziggy Stardust and all that. But even as somebody with only a mild interest in David Bowie, I found this movie really riveting.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen the word Moon Age written out. So I remember it from David Bowie era,
right.
Just the word. But, okay, I was thinking that would be Moon Age. Okay, 3.5, and that's David Bowie up at the Campus Theater in Lewisburg, campustheater.org. Okay.
Right.
All right, so that leaves us to the death of Angela Lansbury. Boy, and again, you know, you tweet about these things, and I follow to the filmography, and that is just crazy. She did everything.
She did everything. She died at the age of 96. She was just in Seals Grove at Susquehanna University a few years ago, as you may recall, but played Mrs. Lovett in the Broadway version of Sweeney Todd, was in Manchurian Candidate, of course, Murder, She Wrote. She was one of the voices famously in Beauty and the Beast, so just one of those all-around talented people who did everything and did it all well.
Right. Yeah, so real loss in passing there, but yeah, that's true. I actually had forgotten that she was over at SU, so we probably have excerpts of our interview somewhere around here. And Bill Murray's bad behavior, what did he do that was so bad, first of all?
Well, you may remember we talked about how an entire movie got shut down because of accusations against him. Well, it now came out that there was a production assistant, a female production assistant on the movie, who he thought was flirting with him. They were standing near a bed that was going to be used in one scene, and he straddled her and kissed her, although they both had COVID masks on, so it wasn't actual contact. But he claims that he was just fooling around and trying to be funny. She didn't take it that way, so now he has agreed to pay her a settlement of $100,000 to compensate for his behavior. So, bad week for Bill Murray. Gina Davis also came out with a story about how he had yelled at her and berated her on the set of their movie Quick Change, which came out in 1990. So, again, Bill Murray, comedy genius. Definitely has some flaws as a human being.
Okay. All right. Well, but you almost expect it the way he is all the time, in the movies and, you know, at other times. Not to attack a woman. That's not right if she doesn't want that. So that's fine. But, I mean, that's bad. But to find that they got it settled. And but he's a long zillionaire, so he can pay somebody to mind him.
I just hope he learns a lesson from all this and starts behaving better, because obviously not okay to treat a woman that way.
Pay somebody to monitor, to behave like a kid, like a little daycare situation. Okay, let's see. That's it. What are you going to see in the near future that we'll look for a review next week?
Halloween Ends, which I'm sure it does not. I'm sure it'll be rebooted again in a few years, but it ends for now.
Okay, yeah. It always ends at the end of the next film. So,
right.
But then it comes back. All right, thank you so much, Movie Mike McGrenahan.
Thank you.
Professional movie critic, ioc.com is his website, and we invite you to also see him up at the campus in the days ahead, campustheater.org.